Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
This is year four. Get the bout ready. Mac's done. I've had it. It's over with.
The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Hits the bong.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
I do agree with Big Russ. Raise that 2013 banner.
Josh 100.
Hurd, yep. Get it done. Raise that banner and let's go get Pearl. Thanks, guys.
Hour. We move along as always. The 5 o'clock hour, Jack calls it the Power Hour, is presented by Cox's Spirit Shops and Evergreen Liquors. You can find them out online right now, coxeslouisville.com. They are delivering. coxeslouisville.com. All the beer, wine, spirits, premium cigars to get you ready for all the games. I would say all the games. maybe a couple of the Kentucky games and the NFL games. Of course, maybe you need more liquor to
Kansas
get through the
Texas
Louisville
Tech
games
tonight.
Who's in Texas Tech tonight?
Kansas and Texas Tech tonight in Fog Allen.
There you go. Yes. Only you are excited about that.
Damn, I mean,
I'm
right.
Glad
I will
that you're
be sitting in this
that
very seat giving Fire Chris Mack takes as Kansas is up 28-20 with 3 minutes left in the first half.
Can I ask you guys this? And Bob was like, you know, listen, I'm not saying I understand where Bob's coming from, even though I, you know, don't always agree with him, obviously. But he's like, you've said it enough that you want Chris Mack fired. You don't have to say it after every game.
What else are we going to talk about?
Well, that's the thing. And part of me agrees with that, doesn't it? I mean, part of me feels very lazy. Like tomorrow, I'll give you a great for instance. Given that they play on Big Monday, Jack, what am I going to do when they lose 63-47 tonight? What am I going to do? Well, they didn't look they look like a disjointed team. They didn't shoot well. Chris Mack can't figure out a lineup. Bad body language. Like, what are we going to say? It's going to be the same thing. That's where we are. We are. It is. There have been seasons, but man, oh man, this has been as disappointing as one. And what am I going to say tomorrow if they lose to crappy Virginia? Virginia lost by 14 over the weekend, Jack. Virginia got crushed by NC State. What are we going to do? Oh, my goodness. Taxer says Notre Dame's still the best team in Indiana. Well, great. I mean, that's fine.
Are they, though?
I mean, who cares?
Yeah, I know.
Texas says you guys are cutting out every 30 seconds. Well, there's nothing I can do. I don't know. The radio's dying. Texas says the media slobbering on Ross McMahon's guys was embarrassing. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of things. Texas says, how is the leadoff today not Ethan saying, don't accept an NIT bid, it's below our program? I'm sure Jack will have that at some point, but yes.
Yes, I will have that at some point. Don't worry.
Oh, goodness. Texas says, hey, Andy, Mac already did the fire the assistants and bring in a new staff routine, and this is what we got. Texas says, bring Kevin Keats. No, we're not bringing in Kevin Keats. No. Have you seen what Kevin Keats has done at NC State? I mean, Kevin Keats isn't good this year. You beat them. You stink. You beat them. Texas says, very good and very sensible, Jack. What else are we going to talk about? Well, that's how I feel. Like, I don't know what to do. I mean, I did love today. Do we have Big Russ? I do love Big Russ saying, hey, put the 2013 banner back up. And didn't U of L's account have to, didn't they edit that out? That's what Phil Baker said on the Sunday morning hangover.
It's like, did they actually do that?
That's what Phil Baker said. I'll blame it on him if it didn't happen. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know what to do. And I guess I've been, let me ask you guys this, 437-9680. We have been, despite Strebel being a gas bag and a blowhard. Oh, by the way, speaking of Strebel, did you ever get him? Did he go on the podcast with State of Louisville?
Yes, it's like
what sound is that?
It's like 3 minutes long.
So what did he do? He went on with those fellas?
He presented an award for them because I guess they were doing an award show.
The Freaks.
Yes.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it was like the coldest take of the year award. The Scott Satterfield's Working Fools Award is what they called it.
Oh, is that? That's good. Well, that's having fun with it. Because here's what I did. I sent it to you, and I only heard the beginning where it's like, it's your boy, Big Rick. And I go, oh, boy. Is he
so
drunk
do you,
doing
do you want to hear it?
Well, let's do that next segment.
All right.
Speaking of Strebel, you'd love this. Scotty D is way too nice for him. Scotty D brought him and his family to the locker room after their win on Saturday, Jack.
Whoa! I had already left.
Did you not know
this? No, okay. I didn't know this. I just know that, the other part of the story from earlier in the night.
Okay, so here's the thing. You're going to love this. Strebel, on Friday, I said, I got sweet tickets, right? Okay?
Right.
I got, you know, not that it's too big of a deal. You can walk in a suite. It's not like, you know, it's not like Kentucky, okay? So we walk in this. So we have suite tickets, Jack. You'll love this, okay? The tickets were on my desk, okay? Strebel did the UK postgame show. And so they were done. What time were they done? Maybe 4:30, something like that. And he and Ants were done, you know, excuse making for Kentucky and everything else. Strebel gets his tickets. He didn't bring his wife. He didn't bring Ellie. It was just him and the boys, okay? So he took the tickets, and he took all of the drink tickets as well. Like five of them.
That's just getting him started.
So what was I supposed to do? I had to ask him about it, didn't I?
Of course.
I mean, is it bad form? So I go, hey, Strebel, I ask him, I go, Did you see any drink tickets there? He's like, oh, yeah. You want a couple? I'm like, there were like seven there, dude. Were you pumping seven beers at the Bellarmine game? So anyway, we get there, and it's some Bellarmine people, and it's Cooper Son. Of course, Cooper's there. Of course. He's like the third person I see. Honestly, every game I go to, I see Cooper like immediately. So me and Coop and my wife, we're all drinking, doing what we do. And we're in the suite, and Strebel's like, I'll be right there. I'm just getting there, okay? So he arrives, and we have, like, more than enough drink tickets, and he pulls out this stack of, like, seven drink tickets. He's like, here you go, and he's, like, weird about it. So I don't know. He's gone for a week, and he's not going to talk to us. I don't know if I offended him at all in any of this, Jack, okay? Because he took all the drink tickets. He doesn't need all the drink tickets.
No.
I think he wanted to pocket the drink tickets. And then come back for another Bellarmine game.
You think he's
not
going
to? No, hell no. We could get him free tickets every game. He would not, okay? So he arrives and says hello and says, I know the people in the suite next to us. And Jack, he left us, like, for the game. Jack,
so he was there
us.
For all of 30 seconds, and the seats were right next to you.
Yeah, we gave him tickets. He showed up and said, thanks for the tickets. Sheepishly gave over the seven or eight drink tickets that he had. And then he went to go hang out with other people. And then it was at some point that I sent you the picture in the second half, Jack. He's over there sitting in the stands like a normal person. And I don't know if he's mad. I don't know if I should be offended. And, like, he came by, like, one other time and, like, peeked his head. He's like, I'm just saying hello. I'm like, what's he doing right now? Right? I could not figure out what was going on with him. And the thing is about the drink tickets, he didn't even want to drink because they were waking up at like 3 a.m. to get to the airport. Ants is texting me. He says he told me there were tickets back there. He didn't say a word about the drink tickets. Like, he was very weird about the drink tickets. I still, when he gets back here next week, next Monday, I'm going to have to figure things out, what's going on with him. He was, like, he literally, Jack, we had a suite. He went down and, like, sat in the corner of the arena.
So he didn't want to be seen.
I don't know what he was doing. I have no idea what he was doing. I really don't. He's mad at me for the drink tickets. I really do.
How did he get into the locker room?
Well, that's a whole discussion. I have no idea. I don't know if Cooper took him down there or what. I have absolutely no idea. No idea. I left. The game was over. It went to overtime.
It was a great game.
Yeah, I got out of there. I have absolutely no idea. Texas says Strebel and his boys were maskless in the Bellarmine locker room. Oh, goodness.
I want to hit the button, but I don't know if it's a lie.
Well, I didn't know you were so, you know, Bellarmine has the rule of mask.
Right.
Well, I didn't know that. I just walked in. Jack, I didn't know that. I'm not Trump.
Well, no, he's the last game I went to. I'd forgotten about that, so they gave me a mask when I walked in. I was like, oh, okay, I'll put it on.
Scotty D should have got a technical. In fact, he probably should have been kicked out. We need to get into that at some point. Yeah, Scotty D got into it with the ref at the end of the first half and, like, literally would not leave the ref alone. And then the ref started trash-talking him. And so Scotty D would not leave it alone. Yeah, the coaching staff had to move him down the hallway, you know, in the end zone there at Freedom Hall. They had to move him down. He was chirping the entire way, the entire way. I'm like, how did they not give Scotty D a technical there? Like, he totally did see Ellie in the Bellarmine photos.
Uh-oh.
Texas says, you bring in Scott Drew, the dude won a championship. I mean, what are we doing with Scott Drew? That has to be for Mangus. What are we doing here? Texas says, I saw Entz this morning at the Clark County YMCA yelling at the manager because they wouldn't let him start a synchronized swimming class. Yes, thank you for that. 437-9680. Jack, let me do something here, okay? I want to ask you this. Is there... And the answer is yes. How much of a difference and the circumstances around all of this are we looking at between Scott Satterfield and Chris Mack? Is it just like, and here's what I would like to take off your plate, Jack, and you won't like this.
All right.
Is... Obviously, the year, I mean, the year matters, okay? And that's going to be the main thing we talk about, and that's
fine.
Year
three versus year four.
Yeah, year four, and I understand that. But what if I took off your plate the fact that we care that much more on the college basketball side than the college football side, okay? Like, in other words, you can't argue using that because we already know that, right? Like, we get that. I want to just move beyond the discussion. Because I'm not sure there's that big of a difference here. Is there?
I think this goes back to what we talked about earlier. There is some minimalistic value in that 6-6 of getting that bowl game, of making a postseason.
Yeah, but they lost the bowl game, Jack. I don't know if that's the case. I really don't.
That's still better than being where the basketball team is at this stage and missing the tournament last year as a bubble team and not even being remotely close to the bubble this year. Like, this is the worst year Louisville's had since probably Denny Crum's last year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're right. Here is what it is, Jack. 437-9680. The difference here is that Scott Satterfield, the last 2 years, has been able to, and again, last year, 2 years ago, however you want to phrase that, he did not make a bowl game, but you never felt like the team had fallen apart, right?
Right.
Like, there were disappointing losses. Don't get me wrong.
But they were still trying at the end of the year.
Yeah, you felt like there was some backbone to the team that they had not stopped connecting with Scott Satterfield.
Oh, now, if they just stopped turning the ball over, they'd have five more wins.
Now, I don't buy into that like Louisville fans did.
Right, but that was the narrative.
And they got burned this season, okay? They got burned, you know, even though they made a bowl game, they got burned this season. Chris Mack doesn't even have that right now. To me, that's how I would argue against myself, because I'm not sure there's that big of a difference. I think so much of this could obviously come down to circumstances. I mean, I don't see the basketball team. Let me go back. I think the football team is in worse shape than the basketball team still. And I know they made a bowl game. I get that. But from the way this team, I mean, Scott Satterfield's going into his fourth year, Jack, telling us we need bigger defensive linemen. Really? We need some guys so we can recruit players. Really? I mean, Scott Satterfield really thought coming in here and getting talent that was App State talent, and then some, obviously, that was a little bit better. And, by the way, not being able to get a quarterback. I mean, there's lots of similarities. The best players Satterfield has had are from Petrino. The best players Chris Mack has had are from Rick Pitino. Or at least Rick Pitino's recruiting class, right?
I mean Laura played a year for, well, Padgett, so yeah, not Pitino.
Yeah. I mean, Javian Hawkins was a defensive player for Bobby Petrino, turns into a damn fine running back at the collegiate level.
Of course, like, Bobby had him as a defender.
Yeah, of course. Like, I just don't think there's some huge difference here. I don't feel good about either one of those. And that's been the talk, is how Scott Satterfield had some more backing than Chris Mack and everything else. And I don't know if Chris Mack could get you guys to buy in for another year. He did that last year the way Scott Satterfield did it last year. But the circumstances around this, the instability at the time that you had to make a decision with Scott Satterfield, there was instability. For whatever reason, he got another year, and you can't tell me it doesn't mean if Neely were here still, it doesn't mean if Vince Tyree were here still, that for sure Jeff Brohm would be the coach. But it's kind of one of those things to where there's a better chance than if, you know, Neely left in the middle of the night and Vince Tyree went off to the private sector. Like, there is a better chance. We can all admit that, whatever that percentage is. And right now, at the end of the year, to me, and this is how I open the show, 437-9680, it's how I open the show at the beginning, is no matter what, because what has happened this season and what is going to happen, I mean, KenPom thinks they're losing every game here. KenPom has them beating Virginia by 2 to end the year on March 5th. If you go by the KenPom numbers, Louisville would not win a game from their last win. It would be January 20th all the way to Saturday, March the 5th. I mean, that would be daunting. I don't think that is going to happen. I don't think they win tonight. They have a 35% chance per KenPom. But no matter what you think, there's always the end of the year conversation, and there can't be a week that goes by like there was with Satterfield and Tyree, or the 5 days, whatever it was. Remember, we're just sitting around here. We did an entire week of shows. Well, at that time, we were under the understanding that Vince Tyree was the AD. At that time, we didn't know about Tyree. We didn't know about Neely Bendapudi. We were just sitting here thinking, are these guys ever going to talk? We need to know what's going on here. Is Scott Satterfield going to be the head coach or not?
Is that going to be the head coach or not?
That's exactly what I thought when I said it. But, like, with Mac, how do you even go about it? With Mac, to me now, because you know you're walking into a divisive decision if you bring him back. And if you bring him back, you have to be convinced of what he's telling you, and there's going to have to be action somewhere. And you're right. They just changed up the staff. I don't know what those actions would be.
Like, if it was football, they've already done the let's replace the coordinators and throw them under the bus thing. You've already done that.
Yeah. I mean, and Chris Mack's already done that. So I don't know if you keep him, it's divisive. You keep things the same or relatively the same. If you keep him and you change a bunch of other things, that is a big decision. There is a program defining crossroads that is either here at the end of the year or it's coming here in the next year. And I believe it is now. And I don't know what is appropriate to say that, hey, U of L needs to get an AD in here in the next month, month and a half. Or if it's Josh Hurd, he needs to take the interim tag off and have a contract like Vince Tyree did 4 years ago. And they got to be tied to each other. They have to. This is the way it is with coach and general manager in the NFL. I'm using that as an example. And it's the way that it needs to be at the athletic department. If you keep him, if you make changes, if you fire him, and there's the financial aspect, if you deal with the NCAA stuff along with getting rid of him, if there's a divorce where you guys meet in the middle, you get half, I get half. That is a program-defining decision. Not just economically, but what you are telling your fan base about the program is a dead man walking. I still do not think he is. And I know we got from today, Monday, January 21st, all the way through Saturday, March 5th, and then the ACC tournament. But I just sit back, Jack, and I'm intrigued by everything that's going on, but I'm also sitting here not knowing what to do with future of Chris Mack discussion, which we're having a lot of, when my feeling is you got to get your athletic department in order to make these decisions. Josh Hurd cannot make this decision and continue to be an interim. It is not feasible. You do not go out and get an athletic director when you're tied to the hip of an either a $12 million buyout or a coach that you just hired. And it's the reason that if you're a Louisville fan, and we talked about this last week, the timing of Scott Satterfield, if you really wanted Jeff Brohm, man, it was right there. You had it in front of you, and it did not happen. And now, timing again. I mean, can we really expect, without NCAA figured out, can we really expect, with interim tag still being on, that you're going to make a decision that is going to... I mean, listen, if Louisville goes out and misses this hire, you start to become Florida State football and Tennessee football. I mean, we've seen that in the past. And so for me, the leadership aspect has to be story number one, so we know what the expectations could be. U of L has right now no one talking, and there's nothing they can do about it. I partially understand it, but there's no communication right now that none of this is good enough. It's trying to sell me that football's going to be better. And you've been trying to sell me that now since you've been in the ACC, that your football's going to be better. And you're trying to, and I don't know what the sell job is on Saturday. All I know is you got booed off the floor when Russ Smith is there, and you got dusted by a Mike Bray team. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for the locals, for Indiana to have beaten Purdue and Kentucky and Louisville to not have beaten Purdue. So for me, I am very strong, Jack, on the, I'm very strong on the athletic leadership, the athletic director, that we see the whether it be Mack, and you may say, hey, we're going to wait. It's going to take time to get a president. It's going to take time to get an AD. It's going to take, like, it's going to take time. Mack may get another year. That ultimately may be what happened, and we can talk about the timing and what goes into that.
I think that's the only path to where Mack gets another year. That to me is.
I don't think that path is crazy, Jack.
I don't think it is either. I mean, that to me is the one path where we're sitting here on March 24th, 2 months from now, and Louisville still doesn't have permanent AD. As much as, you know, the team sucks and it's not to the standards that you want Louisville basketball to be, the job isn't going to be, you know, attractive with an interim AD and all the NCAA stuff that's still holding on and still the quote-unquote cloud that everyone's talked about for 7 years now here.
Yeah, the cloud has got Arizona's a number one KenPom team, I mean, like, or net team. By the way, that's fake news. They're not the best team in the country, right?
They are really
what are we doing here? They have two quad one wins. Yeah. So what are we doing here?
Yeah, no, they haven't proved enough. They do play UCLA tomorrow night, though.
Who do they have on their team, Arizona? Anyone I know, who do they have?
Probably not.
Okay, there we go. I was trying to think. Do they have anyone? They got a bunch of foreign players, didn't they? Had to go overseas.
Yeah,
well, because they got in all that trouble. So like, well,
yeah, well,
the American kids don't want to go here.
Yeah, it fits well though with you know, Tommy Lloyd being a Gonzaga guy. And
of course, it's Tommy
years,
Lloyd,
yes.
The Gonzaga guy, balling out. Of course, it is.
That's why you hate him.
You could have had him. There you go.
That's why you hate Arizona. There it is. But you look at Louisville, and it's like, I still think Chris Mack's getting fired at the end of the year.
Boy, I'm not sold like
but,
you guys
but
are.
But I'm not to that point, though, because I look at the results, and just the results don't.
Circumstances, Jack.
But the circumstances
matter.
Yes, but it's only he's only getting fired if Louisville has a permanent AD. And that's the question of, we don't know that from, you know, 7 weeks, 2 months from now. If they don't have a permanent AD, I don't think you can fire them. Because I don't think you're getting anyone worth a damn if it's an interim AD hiring the coach, and it's, you know, you still have the IRP stuff hanging over.
The IRP, I like that. Let's call it that, the IRP.
IRP.
Texas says, Andy, most Power 5 schools live off football. U of L lives off basketball. That's fine, but you also live off football. You can't tell me football's in a better place than basketball right now at U of L. Please. You can't do it. Satterfield just figured out that he needed recruurs. Really?
If the Ken Bomb projection holds true and Louisville doesn't win a basketball game for 7 weeks,
does he make it this season?
Well, I don't know, but like, if they don't win another game the rest of the year, then there's no way you can argue that the football's... But I agree with you from the standpoint, though, of basketball is a lot quicker to turn around than football. And to be sitting there in year four and saying those types of things...
Yeah, what are we doing
here? That's a multi-year process of bringing in defensive linemen. That should have started back in, like, 2019.
And a quarterback and things like that. Yeah, thank you. That's what I'm saying. I don't understand. I mean, you've never been excited about Scott Satterfield recruiting. You have Chris Mack. It hasn't worked out, but the rankings have been there, have they not? Not one time. We were like, Satterfield just brought in a bunch of dudes. Yeah, I mean, the Super Six stunk, but I mean, is Chris Mack going out and getting, you know, at least four-star kids out of all
Sam
of it?
Sam Williamson's the fourth highest ranked recruit ever to go to Louisville.
I'm trying to think who they beat. You know what? I think I'm going to have them beat Clemson at home on Saturday, February 19th.
Are we sure about that?
No, I'm not sure about that. Jack, what do you think?
I don't...
That's it. I think there's a great chance they win 12 games. What's the over-under? They're 11-8.
It's when Brad said it at like 3.5.
They have 11 games left. If you went 3.5... No.
No. The only game they're projected to win is Virginia at home. Do we really think they're winning that game?
Oh, no, they're not going to beat Virginia.
Yeah, and
no.
Then the other home games...
I mean, Virginia Tech's bad.
Yeah, they're projected...
Wake Forest is bad.
They're projected to lose by one to Miami, but do we really think they're beating Miami? Miami might, other than Duke, might be the best team in the ACC.
I don't know. Miami was down 41-15 or whatever it was at home to Florida State.
Yeah.
I did like the Louisville fans that were like, I think it was even Port Curran said this, Jack. He's like, remember when Florida State was a bad loss? I'm like, that's not making anyone feel better.
It's quite literally the same thing Indiana fans are doing in Michigan right now.
It's not making anyone feel better. It's doing is Florida State has developed through the course of the season, right? To where they've now given themselves a chance. And you've done the exact opposite.
So
it's made it worse. It's proven, which of course has been the case, that Florida State is a better basketball program than you under Chris Mack. So that's what it does.
You'll enjoy this. So Miami's lost two out of their last three games. Both of them were against Florida State. Both of them were by exactly 1 point. Other than that, they haven't lost to a team not named Florida State until going back to November 28th when Alabama killed them.
And didn't Alabama lose this weekend too?
Yeah, they lost to Missouri again.
Oh, Mike, why are they losing?
Oh, wait, no, never mind. They beat Missouri, my bad.
They beat Missouri?
Yeah,
Issel
and Pratt said they got swept by Missouri.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah,
I got my news from Issel and Pratt. That was a problem there. I'm like an old-time newspaper. Like,
yes,
I waited to the next day to get the scores
Missouri.
In the newspaper to figure out what was going on.
I have a little bit. My brother's doing something very weird this weekend.
What, Ethan? What's he doing? Now, he's in, for people that don't know, Jack's brother, Ethan, is in Tuscaloosa. He's a senior? Is he a junior?
Yes, he's a senior.
God, I can't believe it. Dude,
I know.
Remember he went to college.
It's so weird. But, so, anyways, a lot of different ways we can get with him lately, but we might have to get him on sometime this week.
Okay.
So, because he was
got lots of time if you haven't noticed, Jack.
Yeah, he was in New Orleans for his formal last weekend. And I received a Snapchat from, well, I didn't receive it. At the Louisville game, actually, my friend, who also went to Bama, got a Snapchat from one of Ethan's friends. And it's time-stamped of Ethan at a casino at 2:45 a.m. at the blackjack table.
Nice.
And the story goes that he got mad at his friends that were gambling at the table with him, so he kicked them all out of the table.
You can't do that.
Apparently.
Was he a pit boss? What does he think?
Yeah, I know.
Do they go with, do they have dates or what? Just a bunch of dudes hanging out?
No, they have dates.
He doesn't have a girlfriend, though, right?
No, he does not. So he's freewheeling down there. But anyway, so Ethan is coming to Louisville.
Okay.
This weekend for the Louisville Duke game instead of staying in Tuscaloosa where Alabama hosts Baylor.
I mean, why would you
what
come home?
What a terrible decision.
Like, plus, it's like, what, a 6-hour drive or whatever it is? It's 12 hours in the car just to come see Duke and Louisville. One of the teams
see
is
Duke
terrible.
Win by 30?
Yeah, but I guess if you want to see Banchero, that would be it.
Yeah,
but
well,
he
wants
just
to see Coach K. That,
gotcha.
Gotcha. Yeah. He wants to see Coach K.
Should I go on Saturday? When is it? Saturday?
Saturday at noon.
How do we preview that game, Jack? What am I going to have saw a Duke guy on?
Brandon Marks.
I mean, what are we going to do? Have Brandon Marks on to talk about Duke? Hey, they're 14.5-point favorites. Oh, Texas says, and Bob Satterfield, we trust. Texas says, Andy Sweeney, you're my boy, but so you got to stop with the indecisive takes. I think I've been rather decisive today with the you got to have someone in place. I just, listen, yes, if you said, if this were play money in a play situation, in a fantasy, and I could get rid of Chris Mack and look for a new coach, I would do that. But there are circumstances, or besides the season not being over, even though it is, there are circumstances around it, and I'm not true. I here's what I'm iffy on. I'm indecisive on my prediction, and you're just going to have to live with that. I don't know right now if, because there's so much data, if they lose games for the next month, then Chris Mack won't be back. Then there's no doubt about that. Texas says, what about my Niners? Well, congratulations. Yeah. Do you know what I thought about the NFL? It made me sad.
What's that?
Because my team stinks, Jack. Makes me sad. If I went back.
Now you really sound like a little
I know.
Fan.
If I went back, I'll be
you
old here
like,
for
you
a
sound,
second.
You sound like the guy that called in over the weekend that's like, I won't fill out a bracket because the Wolves are in the tournament.
Like, bro, they're never in the tournament. Like, that's my thing. I just enjoy the NFL. Like, you enjoy college basketball.
Right.
Your team stinks, but you enjoy college basketball. And I'm the same way with the NFL. I watch the NFL with my team being very much secondary. In fact, the last couple years, they've been third to or fourth to my bets and my fantasy and everything else. Okay, and the red zone. Like, we're watching NFL that way, but if you went to, I wonder how many different teams, and someone may have already done this. Pat Mahomes had .177 in the final 2 minutes. Is that what it was? In the final 2 minutes, he had 177 yards. I mean, I can think of at least like 10 games the New York Giants didn't have 177 yards passing. Like in a 2 minute drill, Jack, there's a great chance that he had more yards passing in those 2 minutes than the Giants did in a full game in at least half of their games. I'm willing to say at least, well, now it's 17 games. I'm willing to go over. I'm willing to go 9 of the 17. Absolutely. Oh, Louis Rabeau texts me. It's mean though, Jack.
Is he swiping me?
He's swiping you.
Oh, he's just mad.
Louis Rabeau's living the life right now.
Is it something Michigan State related?
It's not. It's not Michigan State related. No, he knows they're overrated.
Does he, though?
It says, Ethan being single and Jack being single feels so different.
Well, yeah.
Well, I don't agree with that. Ethan hasn't had a girlfriend in college, has he?
No, I don't think so.
Well, there you go. That's going to anger your parents. That's a whole different discussion that we can get into. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the show. It's The Take on a Monday.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
I'm going through tweets that I marked.
Freemasons.
Today, 6 hours ago, Biscuit. Happy birthday to Dolly Parton. It's a rolling of the eye. Jack, do you know what you call Dolly? First of all, do you know who Dolly Parton is?
Country singer.
Wow, okay.
That's good enough, I would say.
Yeah, that's what she's most known for.
Do you know what they called Dolly Parton when she visited the jungle?
What did they call her?
A booby trap.
That's a rejoin.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets, the traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the
By the way, it's too bad Streeple's not here today. He would have loved this one. Did you see, what is it, on3.com? Did you see how much they dropped Keontae Goodwin, Jack, in their final rankings?
Yeah, he dropped from, like, what was it, 17 to 148 or something like that?
17 to 158.
Oh.
Keontae Goodwin dropped from 17 to 158.
Is it time to pull the process file?
Well, here's the thing. Process doesn't know. He has no idea. But I figured you would love this. So the first I saw of it was U of oh not U of L, goodness. Nick Roush tweeted it out. I don't know what time, maybe like 2 o'clock. Look that up if you don't mind. Nick Roush, when he tweeted that out, Jack. And I'm looking for the timestamp of that, because not too long after that, your boy Vince Merrill tweeted out the following.
Oh boy.
It's funny, before a kid commits to us, he's top 30. Then he commits, he's 150. Another kid goes up north, and now he's a five-star. LOL, straight joke, but we will keep taking care of our business on the field. Go Big Blue.
2.09 p.m.
Vince Merrill tweeted at 2.36. Well, I thought it was closer together than that, to be quite honest.
Wait, what you know what the take is? It's the opposite of the Kentucky effect in basketball.
What's that? I mean, it is.
Yeah.
The thing is, I'm not being a honk by saying I think that's probably true.
Yeah.
Keontae Goodwin went to Kentucky and he didn't go to Alabama, so they dropped him.
That's how it goes.
Oh, man, that's fantastic. That's happened around here. It's supposed to be the inverse on the basketball side, but we shall see. All right, so what do we have with Streeble in the state of Louisville, guys? What do we have? They did an award show called The Freaks or The Freakies?
Yes.
Okay, and, so which one was it? Do we know? Is it The Freaks or The Freakies?
One of the two.
Okay, so we don't even know. We're not even going to learn the names, okay? All right.
So they had Triple present the Scott Satterfield's work.
So he called in? Is that what he did?
I think it was
here?
Recorded.
Okay, he recorded it on his phone, didn't he?
Yes.
Oh, I bet he did a terrible job
with
this.
Do you
did
hear
he
it?
Do a bad job?
I'll let you judge it.
Oh, no. All right, go ahead.
Next presenter of the Working These Fools Award.
Every once in a while, Louisville sports needs an anti-hero, a villain that we can count on, a man that spent his college days curating fake Mike Rutherford Twitter accounts, an opponent so strong in spirit for the rival team that one troll tweet can send him into a 25-minute spiral of rage, a man who lives and dies by the text line. Taking a break from crushing heaters, throwing back natty this lights, and forgetting the name of his middle child, he is here to present the Scott Satterfield's Out Here Working Fools Award for the coldest Louisville football take of the season. The incomparable, the roundest daddy of the southern Indiana suburbs, James Streeple.
What's up, all you State of Louisville From the Pink Seats podcast fans? It's your guy, Big Rig, Round Daddy, the one and only James Streeble. Yes,
I know many of you probably don't like me or at least disagree with me vehemently about what I think about your team and my team, but that's all good. The Pink Seats asked me to come on here and present an award, so I'm happy to do so. Good guys at the State of Louisville, good guys from the Pink Seats. Without further ado, let's get this rolling. There's nothing better as a sports fan than making a grandiose prediction about your team and watching it come true. More often than not, though, the dreams we have for our squad beloved teams don't work out the way they like. And every year, at least a few fan-driven narratives never gain traction, leaving us looking like idiots in hindsight. The Working These Fools Award is given to the coldest fan-driven narrative or take of the season.
Oh,
and the nominees are... Louisville will upset Ole Miss. This was one of my favorites. You guys really thought you'd be able to step onto an SEC-type atmosphere and beat an SEC squad, so that was a pretty bad one there. Two, Luke McCaffrey is the future of the program at QB. He thought the little brother of Christian McCaffrey, who couldn't stick at Nebraska, was going to come in to Louisville and just inject life into sad, sad offense. Number three, Jeff Rahm is coming home. He ain't ever coming home. You're stuck with Sat. Deal with it. The winner is... Luke McCaffrey will be the future of Louisville quarterback. And that, ladies and gentlemen, of State of Louisville and the Pink Seats and Card Nation, is your winner of the Working These Fools Award.
All right, I know I've said it about nine times now, but what a great award. One of my favorites of the night, the Working These Fools Award. A should say a big thank you to Stephen Rummage for the soundbite that gave us the inspiration for this award.
Oh, man. At the very beginning there, Jackie says something like, love the guys from the Pink Seats.
Yes, yes, he does.
It's Scott Satterfield's out here just working fools.
There's no way he knows who the two guys are that host that show. I'll put any amount of money on it. Love those guys.
That is an upset, though, that Luke McCaffrey won that, right?
I forgot about Luke McCaffrey. Well,
I fought people about Luke McCaffrey. He was not good.
You fought Rummage about Luke McCaffrey.
I fought Rummage, yes.
But mostly Rummage about Luke McCaffrey, yes. If I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Who never practiced, right?
No, yeah, no, I think it was like three practices he lasted.
Well, and then, like, and Zat wasn't happy, which made us all wonder, why is he not happy? But Malik came out and never got injured, right? Like,
right.
What's his name? Boy, played a couple snaps, didn't he?
The Conley.
Yeah, Conley played
Clemson
a couple
game.
Snaps. Was it the Clemson game?
Yes.
Was it the disaster? You like that, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, it was the disaster.
Man, Stripple's got to be meaner there. He's got to hit him with y'all a bunch of bums. He was like dead sober, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And he was like in his room trying to not make any sound. He was doing something.
It sounded like it was at night. The kids were in bed, and he was trying not to wake anyone up.
That's exactly what it sounded like. It's exactly what it sounded like. All right, 437-9680, Jack. All right, what do you want to do here? We're at the end of the show, right? You want to do some sound here?
Oh, yeah.
Is it too much sound? Do we need to give a final prediction? Do you want to give a final prediction for tonight's game?
Because I think Virginia don't. Wins like 60-48 or something like that. I mean, it's gonna suck. It's going to be terrible to watch for 2 hours. And I will be happy. The only thing that will take solace is that I will have bacon cheese fries for dinner, and I will enjoy co-hosting the post-game show with Taylor.
Where are you getting the bacon cheese fries?
I think Six Forks Burger Company.
Oh, where's that at?
It's over. It's only like a 6-7 minute drive from the station, actually.
Oh, well, there you go.
Oh, yeah,
look at you.
Yeah.
It slaps.
It does.
Reminder, tonight we do have Bellarmine basketball, 6:45 over on 93.9 The Ville. Then coming up tonight at about 9 o'clock, Miller Lite postgame show. Taylor Lynch, your boy Jack Grossman, Spencer Brown will be hanging out with you on that. And then when Bellarmine's done on 93.9, we'll be simulcasting the postgame show as well. Well, let's go. Let's play some sound.
Right,
we haven't played much today.
I think
what
we
got
to get
here?
Into the Issel and Prep, but we have to get from this gem from Bill Raftery from the broadcast.
Now, how good of... We need to set this up. I forget what happened. This was early in the game.
Yes.
I want to say Ty was still in the game, was
yes,
he not?
This was right around the... This was like right after Ty got hurt.
By the way, two things off this before you play this. Number one, Remember when Kentucky got Jabari Smith? Remember that? I mean, they used to get guys like that. Remember that?
Yes.
Okay. Number two, who's the guy that chirped at Calipari the whole time?
KD Johnson.
That kid wanted to go to Kentucky? Is that what happened there?
I think that's what they were saying.
But he's a bench player for Auburn.
No, he starts.
Does he start?
I think you're confusing with Wendell Green, who's like their sixth man that comes off. Off the bench, but
would he really start? Good. Would he start for? He would not start for Kentucky, right?
KD Johnson, unless Cal actually wanted to go small, which he never does. No,
no, he never does. He does the opposite of that.
I don't know. I think he could start over Grady.
You think? I don't know, man.
I think Johnson's the best three point shooters in the league. Johnson's a more 17? Complete player, but Grady has that shot making ability that's just so elite. So I don't know.
What crappy analysis.
Yeah, as soon as I said that, I was like, he's so gonna hate this test.
Yeah, I don't think you're BSing, and that's fine.
No.
You've seen him play at Auburn.
Yes.
You never saw him play at Eastern Washington?
No.
Is that what it was?
Yes. Eastern Washington. Anyways, Bill Raftery said this.
Suck that tea. Suck that tea.
why did he say that, Jack?
I don't know.
He had to mean in, right?
Yes.
Suck that tea.
Let's get to the Issel.
What a great pivot from that to Issel. What a fantastic pivot. Did you hear? You weren't here yet. You know the first thing I said after not having seen Issel in a week and a half?
No, what'd you say?
I looked Dan Issel in the eye and go,
Teddy
hey.
Bridgewater's a free agent.
That's exactly what I said. That's exactly what I said. I go, hey, Dan. I go, you know Teddy Bridgewater's a free agent, don't you? And he loves that. Well, give me some Issel then. What's the setup here?
All right, so there's him crushing Malik Williams. There's him crushing Mack. There's him crushing people that won Bruce Pearl. There's him crushing Patino.
Oh, you can't go wrong.
Yeah,
anywhere
so
you go, just start at the top and work our way down, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Virginia's
yeah.
no good. Okay, Mike, what? They could beat Virginia by 25 points, and it doesn't make any difference.
Well, if one
Chris
of their
is
three.
Gone. Chris is
oh,
gone,
yeah, yeah,
and
yeah,
this
yeah,
idiot,
yeah, yeah.
I'd put him so far down the bench, he wouldn't. Yeah. I mean, he's allergic to paint anyway. He doesn't come close to playing close to the basket. So, you know, I'd make sure that he was down way down on the end of the bench so he didn't have to smell that paint anymore.
Well, Max should have known. Shot.
Smell the paint. I love that.
That was like a 10-second pause.
And this is the guy who last week said that they weren't motivated. They weren't motivated to play.
Well, you know what was it? Charmin? The toilet paper?
Yeah.
He's as soft as Charmin, man.
You're talking about Malik.
Yeah.
Oh. If I was Chris Mack, Malik, he's a fifth-year senior. He's gone anyway, right?
Yeah.
I mean, after saying he wasn't motivated, after that performance, waiting 10 seconds to answer the question, he'd be so far down on the bench. I mean, he's not helping win anyway. So
no, he's just taking stupid threes.
Yeah. He's a 6'10 guy who's soft as butter, wants to play on the perimeter. No,
I mean, look,
he doesn't see the floor.
Get out of the way, process.
To be a leader of a team, you got to be decent. You know, you can't stink and be the leader of a team. So that went out the window. That went out the window.
I don't know if I'd phrase it quite that way, but the point is well taken.
This is over for Chris. Chris is gone. They're not going to win three games the rest of the season.
Oh, please.
I don't know. He might be right.
Then he talked about Pearl. He said, I don't know if we can get Pearl, but we need to try.
Where did Pearl's number and name come up to start with?
You got me. Who
started that, Bobby?
Probably blank.
Yeah, yeah.
You think you have more resources
process.
Than U of L or Auburn? U of L has more than Auburn?
Yeah.
I offer you one thought.
Yep.
Right across from the basketball arena is this thing they call a football stadium.
And I think it's decent size, isn't it?
Decent size, 82,000 every game. So if they don't have resources, they got great facilities all around the campus. Resources, when's the last time U of L had 82,000 to maybe two football games, you know? I mean, come on now. Let's put, you know, it's just like us at Kentucky. We think we can beat Alabama. Well, maybe. maybe, but, you know, we're not going to say we got better resources or anything.
And we're surely not going to go out on a limb and risk any credibility that we might possibly have saying something stupid like Bruce Pearl's coming to U of L.
Yeah, I mean, pick somebody else that legitimately have a chance. Pearl's got baggage with the NCAA. Rick has baggage. So why not go
Rick
for
Rick? Rick doesn't have any baggage.
Oh, yes, he does.
No, he doesn't. Yes, baggage does Rick have?
He's got the first offensive two still hanging out there, which is killing UofL.
Oh, he didn't, Mike, he didn't know anything about that. He didn't know anything about that. Are you kidding me? He knew nothing. I know nothing. Now, you know, you and I both know Rick Pitino.
Yep.
We both know what a control freak he is.
Yep.
We both know some of the things he did when he was the coach at UK around Lexington to make sure that he had control of the program. And you want to tell me he didn't, the guy, the gopher, just had an extra $10,000 in his pocket to hire the prostitutes to come in. He didn't
just
know
throw
anything.
Away money.
He didn't know anything about that. You know, and they're out buying players. Adidas is buying players for him. He didn't know anything about that. He's clean as a whistle. That's why when he comes on the screen, we don't care that we don't get to call our championship a championship anymore. We don't care that we're under the darkest cloud of any college basketball program. We don't care about that because Rick didn't know anything about it. Hire him back and get us out of this dumpster fire.
Jack, it's worthy of the sound bracket, is it not? What an Issel rant! What an Issel rant! My God! My God! Where do you want to even pivot to next? We're about out of time anyway.
All right, so we have to play. We have to play a caller.
Holy cow!
We have to play a UofL postgame caller.
Sure.
And then we have to play. We have to play Pratt reacting to this. Just Pratt listen to the UofL postgame show.
I heard that.
So that's
this morning.
A story within itself.
Yes.
But we have to play this call. I have to play Pratt's reaction to it.
All right.
We brought Bob Petrino back. Why can't we get Rick back? He might have had some violations or whatever. You tell me one of these successful coaches around the country that hasn't had something, and some lot bigger than what Rick had.
I would take him back in a heartbeat.
Get George back. Get Rick back. And nobody else on these staffs from the University of Kentucky. Nobody.
Tired so would Kenny Payne? Would Kenny Payne be a non-starter for you?
As far as I'm concerned. As far as I'm concerned, Kenny Payne, he can go to hell too. I'm sorry. You know, he's a turncoat, as far as I'm concerned. He's a turncoat.
Well, Jock.
You know, you go coach at Kentucky. That's all it is for me. I hate the University of Kentucky. I hate UK. I don't want anything UK to do with the University of Louisville. Nothing. Why can't we get Junior Bridgman in the order some kind of way?
Before I play the Pratt clip, can I just point out that he goes from wanting Rick Pitino to denying Kenny Payne when he ignores
because
Rick
he's
Pitino.
At Kentucky.
Yes. When Pitino quite literally has a jersey hanging in Rupp Arena.
I guarantee that guy loved Vince Tyre too, who played baseball at Kentucky. My God, that's good. That's artwork.
It is.
It's art.
So here's our guy, Pratt.
Oh, boy.
Also, the guy, Ethan Moore, took a caller took a shot at the lady. I have no idea who she is, who's the interim president, saying she was a dean of something and whatever at UK. We want nothing to do with UK. Get him out of here. We want nothing to do. Kenny Payne's a traitor. We don't want him as our next coach. I'm listening to this stuff. I'm going, are you crazy?
Well, I might.
That's my sign. It's my iHeart KP sign.
Oh, yeah.
I am all in on the Kenny Payne train. I am on that train.
Man. Man, oh, man. Jack.
There's also the UK postgame caller that went after Pratt. I feel we got to get Process to play that tomorrow.
I mean, I'm worried about it. It was mean. I thought it was mean.
Mean.
I don't
it
know.
Was
I
mean.
Thought it was mean. I thought it wasn't really funny or creative. No. It was just mean, and they let him go for like 3 minutes.
Yeah, we're out of time. And right, we gotta playing, get, playing
I'm
tomorrow.
Like, Stream will cut the call. The guy's crushing Pratt for no reason. All right, let's get out of here. Back at it 3 o'clock tomorrow. Bonus.